Today we are talking all about Halloween Horror Nights 31. It's a psychobilly freakout! Welcome to Relive the Magic. I am your host, Dallas Thompson, and today we are talking all about opening night of Halloween Horror Nights 31 in Orlando, Florida at Universal Orlando Resort. Before we get started, you can check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/relivethemagic. Find us on Spotify, iTunes, podcast, anywhere else you get your podcast from. We're also pretty active on Twitter, at relivemagic on there. Coming up is the D23 Expo, and that is something that I've been looking forward to for a long time. I've been wanting to go to that for 10 years. Same with going to Disneyland and Universal Studios Hollywood. At the time of me recording this, I'm actually heading there starting tomorrow. And so I hope you'll follow along for that. I'm really looking forward to D23 Expo specifically because I will be in attendance at both the Marvel Studios panel and the Parks panel. And so I'll be talking all about that after the event. But for today, we're talking all about Halloween Horror Nights 31, which opened up last night, Friday, September 2nd. And Halloween Horror Nights is always my favorite time of the year. So, of course, expectations were high for me going into this event. I should mention, I'm only talking about opening night. I'm actually going, I leave for California Monday morning, but I'm going tomorrow night, which is Sunday night, the 4th. I'm going to go do everything again tomorrow night. And so these are just my initial reactions, mainly to the houses and scare zones. I didn't get to watch the shows, and so keep that in mind as I talk about them. If you've been around for a while, you may remember last year I did an opening weekend recap where I talked about the event as a whole after the first weekend because I had several days to go. I also did the Unmasking the Horror Tour last year. This year, today, I'm just talking about night one. Later on, I'll talk about the rest of opening weekend and the other experiences that I'll get to do later in September. Just the way that the calendar falls this year, I thought it was best to just go ahead and talk about opening night. So let's start out by, I'm just going to do a ranking of the houses first. Honestly, this year I wasn't super excited about the lineup, especially in speculation season, but as we got closer and I started to see the theme of the event and I started to understand more of what each house was going to be, I got to be a lot more excited for what was to come. And I'm happy to say that kind of like last year, everything was good. Some were not great. There were six that I considered great. The bottom four I liked, but I didn't love. But I do think each of those can change. I think all of them can change going forward. I don't think 1 through 6 I will stop loving, but I think 7 through 10 I will easily grow an appreciation for as the event goes on. Remember, this is only opening night, and so things will change a lot from night to night, week to week, and by the end of the event, it'll probably be completely different rankings all around. And so I'm going to just go from 10 all the way to 1. And some of these may surprise you where they are at on my list. Keep in mind, this is just my list. A lot of the community's lists are pretty different. Number 10, though, is an original. And I think the only reason that number 10 is what it is just because, honestly, I didn't have a solid, great run through it. I only went through it once. I appreciated it, but I just didn't love it, and it didn't end up at the top of my list. But I did like it, and I should keep that at the forefront of what I'm talking about. Number 10 for me is Descendants of Destruction. And I think the reason partially is because I did not do my research on this one before. The rest of them I knew exactly what to expect, but I didn't really know what to expect out of this one. The sets were really good. I just didn't really know what was going on. And I still really don't. But that's the part of, you know, I'm going to keep going throughout the event. And I'm sure it'll get better. The actors were doing great. The sets were great. It just ultimately in the list of 10 houses, it didn't live up to the others for me. Number 9, I really did like. I got to go through it twice. Number 9 for me is Fiesta de Chupacabras. I was not really excited for this one going into the event, and so I'm surprised it wasn't, I don't know, I was more excited for Descendants than I was for this, but just because it's number 9 doesn't mean I didn't like it. I really think that the strength of this one is the costumes and the scare actors. The people that I was with and around, they got a lot of good scares out of this one. Typically, I don't react to houses. I actually did get, I did react a few times in some other houses, and no, it's one of the scare zones this year, but I'll get to that later. This house, the story is really cool. The puppets that they use are really cool. I'm not going to go into any spoilers. I should have mentioned that earlier. No spoilers in this episode. Maybe for some of the later ones, but not for this house. Just the use of puppetry and settings and costumes and just the whole vibe of this house was really cool for me. But the weak spot was more just that the second run of it for me wasn't quite as strong as the first one. And ultimately, a lot of these, I just find myself wanting to revisit more. And that's ultimately how I rank my favorite houses. It's not necessarily based off of one specific thing, two specific things. It's mainly based off of which ones am I most excited to go back into. If I had a limited amount of time, which ones would I rush back into? And right now, this one's just towards the bottom of my list. Again, not for any specific reason, just because of the houses above it. Same with number 10, as I said before. Now, number 8, I'm a little surprised it wasn't number 10 based on all the reactions that I heard from everyone after the Wednesday night team member preview. Supposedly, this one was a last-second addition. Apparently, Evil Dead Rises, whatever it's called, was originally going to be in this spot, but it dropped out of the last second due to how the release schedule of the upcoming movie has changed. And so, all things considered, I think they put together a pretty good house in that time. And I actually found myself enjoying this one a lot more than I expected. This one is Hellblock Horror. It takes place in the Hellblock prison. It features some HHN characters of the past locked up. Something to do with pressing a button. I just thought some of the lighting effects in this were really cool. I thought the story actually mostly made sense to me. Some parts didn't. And also, this one was just kind of fun. And so that's why it made number 8 on my list. Not necessarily because it's better than the other two objectively, but because for me, I just had more fun with it. And then number 7 and above are where I actually really start to like the houses. I wouldn't say that number 7 I love yet, but I do think that this one I will end up loving by the end of the event, because I could even tell after the first run into the second round of this house that it was already, once I understood what was going on, I enjoyed it a lot more. And so this one, number 7 for me, Spirits of the Coven, aka The Witch House. Spirits of the Coven is another one I didn't really know anything about going into the event, but I knew enough to be excited for it. I knew enough to be aware enough of what was going on to figure out the storyline. And you might notice I'm not really talking in depth about any of these stories. That's because we're still on opening weekend, and I want most of you to go experience these for yourself. And so we will talk about specifics and more later when my rankings are more 100%, you know. But Spirits of the Coven, one of the stronger originals this year, but it's not the strongest original this year. And this, from above, from here on, I really think is where people will be surprised by my rankings. Because number 6, most people have this much, much, much lower. Number 6 is The Horrors of Blumhouse. And I think honestly, that's because I'm partial to liking this house already, because I really enjoyed Freaky. I really love The Black Phone. And I really enjoyed both. And a lot of times for these IP houses, what I'm looking for is just, are they adapting it well? It doesn't necessarily need to be scary. It doesn't necessarily, you know, I don't know. It's just, for this one, for me, it was a good representation of the films. The Black Phone section was definitely the stronger half. But the Freaky part was cool too, especially because I had just watched Freaky 2 days before I went, I think. But I will say this. The transition between Freaky and the Black Phone was not great. Think of it this way, though. It's more two mini houses. Because really, you leave Freaky and you're outside of a facade for the Black Phone. It's just like a, you know, one of the ones with a sticker on the wall. But basically, that's what it is. It turns it into two separate houses. And so, you know, I thought in that way it was okay. But you leave the first part Freaky and go into a super bright room. And I don't know. Maybe they could have done something with the lighting to make it better. But it was just kind of jarring. And it was like, wait, what? Is it over? No, it wasn't over. You just were basically going into a different house. And so I thought the individual parts were great. I thought the Black Phone was phenomenal. And I think the Freaky part will get stronger throughout the season. But overall, I really liked really did like this house. It just it didn't measure up to some of the other ones coming up. Number five for me, this is probably going to be the most surprising for most people. And I should just go ahead and say this. I'm an IP person, I figured out, when it comes to these events. Last year, a lot of the IPs were higher for me than they were for other people. And this year, I think it's the same way, with an exception coming up. But this house, I will say, is one of the most beautiful houses I've ever seen at Horror Nights. It's one of the best ones I've ever been through. It's just that, I don't know, I liked the other ones more. This one is Dead Man's Pier, Winter's Wake. And that is in spot number five. I've seen several people have this as number one, number two. And just let me say this. I know that this won't be popular for it to be at number five. I also fully expect it to go up to number two or three. I don't think number one will change for me. It would take a lot for that. But number five doesn't mean that I didn't like it. I did love it. The reason I loved it is the same as a lot of people. The massive scale of a lot of the sets of this specific house is really why I loved it. And I'll leave it at that because I don't want to give anything away quite yet. And then number four is Universal Monsters Legends Collide. I personally have enjoyed this the most of the three Monsters houses. And it's also interesting that supposedly the Hollywood version is a part two to this. I don't quite know what that will mean. I also like that each night the winner is different. At least supposedly. I've only been to the event once, but that's what I've heard. The winner is different. I mean, the amount of appearances from each of the three represented monsters definitely aren't equal, but I just thought this one was the most, well, it's definitely the scariest of the monsters' houses. And I enjoyed it the most. And I think the setting was cool. It was basically like being in the Mummy queue if it was a haunted house. And so I loved that. And speaking of scariest, I think by far the scariest house for many people this year is one that has been talked about quite a bit, and that is Bugs Eaten Alive, and that is my number three. Going into the event, I remember everyone talking about how, oh, no one's going to be able to make it through this house. Obviously, that's not true. I think partially that was Horror Nights trying to make it seem scarier than it is. But if you really have a huge phobia of bugs or holes in people's faces, then this is going to be absolutely terrifying for you. But this is a dark humor house. This one, to me, though, had the most clear story of an original house. And that's why it is so high up. And because I just really enjoyed this house. I didn't get scared, but, you know, it had that creepy crawly feeling. And so I really liked it. I can't wait to go through it again. I only went through this one once. But yeah, and I'm going to for sure do it tomorrow at least twice. But Bugs Eaten Alive, for sure, I think will get more and more intense as the season goes on. And so I'm excited to see how they do that. And so that leaves us with two more, my number two being Halloween. Now, let me just preface this by saying that I have never done any of the Halloween houses for this specific film. This is based on the 1978 Halloween. I did the Halloween, I don't remember which Halloween house I've done, but I haven't done the original because I started coming to the event in 2015. And it had already been done, at least here. And so for me, this was a brand new house. I honestly don't know how different it is from previous iterations. Honestly, for me, it doesn't matter. I think for a lot of people, it won't matter because a lot of people that come to this event now haven't been coming for long. Because obviously this event's a lot more crowded than it has been in the past, as you can tell. If you just look at how many days have already sold out, if you look at just the crowds in general, express lines last night were crazy. I'll get to that in a little bit. But Halloween was popular all night, and I heard nothing but great things from people I actually talked to in person. Online, Horror Nights fans aren't super thrilled with it, but I think that's because they've seen it before. And let me just say, the finale is awesome. If you're watching the video version of the show, some spoilers in the pictures that I'm showing, but this house is just incredible. And the ending solidified its spot in second place for me. And that's really the main reason that it is where it is on my list. And so that means number one on my list is The Weekend After Hours Nightmare. And I'll admit, at very first, when I first heard about The Weekend, I was like, what? Why would we do that? But then I got into his music and I started watching his music videos and I was like, this is actually perfect. And so I've been super excited for this house for a few months now. And so this was already at number one on my hype list. But The Weekend After Hours Nightmare, it's just from the time you're in line all the way to the end, it's just a great time. And so I don't want to give too much away about this, but let me just say the Super Bowl thing is in the house. And it is one of the coolest parts. The lighting in this house is the absolute best use of lighting I've ever seen in any Horror Nights house by far. And this house is one of my favorites of all time. And so I'm excited to see how it grows throughout the season. The music only enhances it. The music is great in this house, as it should be. And so I'm really glad they took a chance with this one. And I'm excited to hear how everyone else feels about this house. Seems to be popular. It'll be the most popular as far as awaits go for the rest of the season, I'm sure. But yeah, that was my number one. So to recap, just my night one rankings for Horror Nights 2022, 31, whatever you want to call it. From 10 to 1, 10, Descendants of Destruction. 9, Fiesta de Chupacabras. 8, Hellblock Horror. 7, Spirits of the Coven. 6, Horrors of Blumhouse. 5, Dead Man's Pier, Winter's Wake, 4, Universal Monsters, Legends Collide, 3, Bugs Eaten Alive, 2, Halloween, 1, The Weekend After Hours, Nightmare. And so, moving on to the scare zones. I spent a little bit of time in some of the scare zones, but some of them I was in a little bit more. And honestly, last year, the scare zones, I was like, I just don't care. Like, I really did not care about the scare zones last year, and that's because mostly they were not all that great, just to be honest. But this year, I started looking at them as they were announced, and I was like, this is what's really going to sell this year's vibe of the event, which is classic Halloween, you know, trick-or-treating, witches, candy, graveyards, stuff like that. That's exactly what the scare zones are this year. And for those of you who don't know, pretty much the icon of this year is the Pumpkin Lord from Wicked Growth, Realm of the Pumpkin last year, which is just awesome for the merchandise and for the fans. And he's right up front, and he was very popular last night. And he's in what's called Horrors of Halloween, which, as far as a scare zone goes, it's not scary, but it's exactly what the front area should be, I feel like. And it's a good photo op. It's a good way to start the night and get excited for what's to come. And so let me rank the scare zones real quick. I'm not going to talk a lot about them. From 5 to 1. All right. From 5, Conjure the Dark. I didn't spend any time in that one. Number 4, Horrors of Halloween, because it's just photo ops. 3, Scarecrow, Cursed Soil. The barn was really cool. Number 2, Graveyard, Deadly Unrest. All I'll say is the character design. That's why that one's so high. Number 1 is Sweet Revenge. Sweet Revenge, is based on the candy company sort of thing. And I don't know. I just really like the vibes of this one. I also spent the most time in this one. I did upload a video of this scare zone to the YouTube channel. It's the only one I've done so far. I'll do the rest tomorrow night. I really enjoyed this one. This one really encapsulated the spirit of Halloween, I feel like, to me, the most. And, you know, I'm sure it'll change. Number two was really close, but number one, Sweet Revenge, was awesome. And so, scare zones this year are a huge win, especially compared to last year. And I definitely recommend taking some time out of your night to do those. And so the shows, by the way, I did not watch either show yet. I will tomorrow night, and I'll get back to you on that. But from what I understand, they're both really good. It's Nightmare Fuel from last year. It's pretty much the same show, just some minor tweaks. And then Ghoulish is a new fountain show that I've seen bits and pieces of, but I've heard it's really great. And then last but not least on this quick episode, I did something yesterday I'd never done before, the Scare Actor Dining Experience, and this year it's in Louis. I just want to say, do not do it. It was a waste of both time and $50-something, for at least for me. Maybe you'll love it. The photo ops were cool, but even then, I only got one of the pictures on my card, like one of the cards. They couldn't find my picture yet, and so hopefully that'll be fixed, but I got my Michael Myers one. There it is, if you're watching the video. The food was horrible. And the theming was fine. I mean, it didn't feel like a Halloween buffet thing. It was just like, here's food. You're not paying for it right now. You paid for it already. Communication before was horrible about what you had to do. Just so you know, you have to print out tickets at the front kiosk. Just so you know. They also, apparently, you have to buy the spot for the specific date, and you also have to reserve your spot after that, or you just don't get to do it. I did learn that early, but just overall, it was not worth the money or the time. I really regretted not just doing Stay and Scream instead, and so I just want to let you guys know, I did not enjoy that at all, and maybe you will if you do it, but I don't recommend spending the money on that. And so this was pretty quick, but I just want to say, overall, the vibes of the event this year are pretty awesome. And so, as far as comparing it to last year, I honestly don't know yet. Last year was such an incredible year, in my opinion, that it's hard to top. But this one could get very close. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how the house is and how just everything evolves throughout this Halloween season. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and end this here. And just so you know, I will be talking a lot more about this year's Halloween Horror Nights, a lot more in depth later on, but I just wanted to get this ranking out there because I don't know when I'll be able to any other time soon. With that, thank you all for listening. Have a great day. Be sure to keep up with us for more from Horror Nights Orlando and Hollywood and D23 and all the upcoming fun stuff. See you later.